Well, good day to be in the house of the Lord, and they're singing about Amazing Grace. We'll talk about grace just a little bit today. We've got arrangements for Myrna's visitation is tomorrow, not tonight, but Monday from 5 to 8, visitation and a funeral. Then they'll have a visitation from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock on Tuesday, and the funeral will be at 11 o'clock Tuesday. So that kind of sets everything up. And I don't know about a meal. Okay. So anybody that can cook, prepare something for Tuesday after the funeral, be sure to get in touch with Ginger. She's down with the children right now, but be sure and get in touch with her so we can get that taken care of. That's Myrna Riley. Some of you know her and some know her better than others. Right, June? You know, but we're here, and good to be in the house of the Lord. I want to talk about examples this morning and some scripture that really means a lot to me, because I can kind of compare this to where I was at one time and my life and how it was going at one time. And we'll talk about the grace of God, and we're going to use Peter for a comparison and talk about who can be used by God. You know, this is a thing I'm asked. So, well, who could God use? God can use anybody, I think, that will submit themselves to Him. I believe that would be an example we could use. But we're going to go start out in the book of St. Luke, chapter 22 and verse 54. And we're going to read a little bit about the life of Peter. And then we're going to see where God brings him to and what God can do with anybody. Peter, you might say, well, he was kind of fiery. He was excitable. He did a lot of things. Well, when we come down to this point, when we talk about the denial of Christ, you're going to find it broke his heart. Something he had done, you know, in his ability, not to do or not to do, but he had. In St. Luke chapter 22 and verse 54, then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. Now, they're talking about Jesus, and he's on the way to the cross. They're going to crucify him. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, this man was also with him. And so he begins to be accused of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice first of it, and I've heard this preached a lot of times, that he's standing around the wrong fire, and I'll agree with that. He's in a place he shouldn't have been. But he had an opportunity that he didn't have to deny. And verse 57, it said, and he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And so that was the first denial of Peter denying Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus had already told him, he said, you'll deny me three times before the cock crows. And so this was just fulfilling and playing out. And so Peter denied Jesus. Now, I want you to think about denying Jesus. I want us to all think about denying the Son of God. And, you know, here's Peter, and he's in denial. He said, I don't want to be part of this. I don't want to be known as one of his. And so he denied him. And then verse 58, and after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. That's two. You know, two times that he's denied Christ. It goes a little farther, and about the space of 1 hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. Now, this is three times he's denied Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the whole world. He's denied him three times, and God reminds him by a rooster crowing. Have you ever thought about the rooster? You know, I've thought about it a lot. He could have used anything he wanted to, but he used a rooster crowing. And I've thought a lot about the rooster. It said the cock crew, you know. And I've thought a lot about the rooster. Why did God use a rooster to remind Peter of the denial? Roosters show the beginning of a new day, right? You know, they use a crow in the morning. I've heard a few get mixed up and get crowing at night. But most of the time, they signal the beginning of a new day. And I think God used this rooster to crow to remind Peter that a new day was going to begin. There was going to be a new dawn for all people because grace was on the way. Yeah, Peter wasn't under grace. He's not as blessed as we are today to be sitting here under the grace of God. He was on his own, kind of, and he denied Christ. If he put us without grace and without the power of God through that, I don't know what we'd do. So you get thinking about Peter, and he said, this cock crow, and verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And so the word of God was brought back into memory. And when he started remembering this, in verse 62, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. Have you ever done something that after it's over and after you've done it, you wished you could have took it back? I've had time after time and situation after situation that if you could just turn it back. You know, you think, I wish I had done that. I wish I had said that. But it's already said. It's already out there. And it's hard to retrieve those things. And I think that's why Peter wept bitterly. I think it broke his heart to understand that he had just denied his Savior. He had just denied the Son of God. He knew who he was. He knew what this was about. And I got to thinking about how Peter must have, when he wept bitterly, you know, I'm sure he was condemned in himself. And he said, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I could take it back. But a lot of things in life you can't take back. Well, good news for Jesus, for Peter. Jesus was fixing to be crucified and grace was coming in. It took the grace of God to forgive Peter. A lot of people talk about grace. And you know, when Jesus hung on the cross and he said it's finished, he's talking about the law. A new age began and grace that came in. Peter was going to be forgiven. Peter, although he wept bitterly and he was sorry for what he's done, you know, I thought about the good part of this. It says not only will God forgive it, but he'll forget it. And by this grace that's coming in, this grace that they're going to find by Jesus hanging on the cross of Calvary, he's going to find this grace, and God's going to change him. Now, I've thought a lot about God changing people. The only place I've ever found in Scripture when God changed somebody is for the better. You know, it don't go the other way. He's not going to change you for the worse. He's going to change you for the better. And so if he's working in your life and all of a sudden you think things are different, it may be God working to change you for the better. And here's the point we need to consider, that this man that had denied Christ three times, openly denied him, this same Peter that Christ had looked at, you know, gazed at him, and this same Peter that had wept bitterly was going to come under grace. That's the part that amazes and I get excited about, to know about the grace of God. You know, for grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2 and 8 and 9. Praise God, I claim that one, because I'm glad it's not on my account and not on what I could do. You think about Peter. He denied him three times. What chance is he going to have to work for God? What chance is he going to have to ascend to heaven by denying Christ except by grace? It's grace, folks. We can all rejoice in the fact that Jesus brought grace. Peter denied him three times. The Lord looked at him, put his gaze on him across the room. Can you imagine that look? He said, I told you, you'd do that. Peter wept bitterly, but grace was coming. He's going to be a changed man. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it's very plain. It said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things have become new. Can you think about that applying to yourself and to Peter that day? Peter needed a new self. All things have become new. He needed something new. And when Christ died, he received this grace that we all have today. Thank God that we're under grace. We're not under works, not under law. If it was works and law, Peter would have a problem. If it was works and law, you'd have a problem. Amen. But thank God for grace. I want to show you what God can do when he changes people. Now, I've always thought that I don't believe people can change people. I believe you can pray for them and God can change them. But I don't know that we have the ability to change somebody. You know, if you could change their attitude, if you could change their demeanor about something, if you could change their mind, you could change their looks. And see, if we were in charge and could change people's look, everybody would be beautiful, right? Right? But that's not but God can change people. You know, I learned this one time years ago back. I was going to do a wedding for a young lady, and she was talking to me about her fiance, and she was all excited. They was going to get married. She said, well, I said, is he saved by the grace of God? She said, no, well, I don't think he's saved. And I said, well, is he a good guy? She said, yeah, he's a real good guy. Now, he drinks a little, and he does little drugs, and, you know, he lays at night sometime, but I unchange that when we get married. Ain't going to happen. I wish I'd have never done the wedding. I wish I'd have refused it right then and said, I'm not going to do it. But God can change people. Here's Peter, denies Christ three times. But we know about the forgiveness of God. It said he went out and wept bitterly. I believe that was repentance. I believe it was tears of repentance, without a doubt. And then if you'll turn with me over in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, let me show you Peter what's happened to him after all things are passed, old things are passed away and all things become new. I want to show you what God can do with somebody that's willing to change and accept God's will in their life. He begins preaching the word of God. We spoke about this a minute ago, and I looked back, and I thought it was 3,000 souls, and that's right. So we're going to cover a little bit of Peter's sermon. Now, you see the Peter back here, got out of ship, going to Jesus, began to sink. Jesus had to rescue him. Here's the Peter, denied Christ three times. Jesus had to rescue him by grace. Every time he's sinking, Jesus lifts him up, and now he's ready to lift up the name of Jesus and preach under the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, not only were they in grace at this time, but also they had the gift of the Holy Ghost, and that changes people in a big way. And so here's Peter, and you can tell that he's under the leadership of God, because when he stands up and starts preaching, he don't preach just what they want to hear. He preaches what God says to tell them. In verse 37, it said, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? I like this about pricked in the heart. You know, you can usually tell when God's in something, when it starts pricking people's heart. That means condemning them. That means putting them in a point that they say, I need to change something. Now, that's what Peter began, stood up in this, when he started preaching this and telling them, he told them about crucifying the Lord Jesus. And he said it pricked them in the heart. And you know, we need a lot of heart pricking in this day and time, in this world, that a lot of people see they're wrong and their wrongdoings, that they might change in the will of God. So, verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So he promised them something if they would repent and be baptized. This was a promise of the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, I've heard a lot of people talk about earning the Holy Ghost. I've heard a lot of people talk about seeking the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you, that's garbage. That's garbage. My scripture said God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, these three agree in one. I'm going to tell you, you get one, you get them all. You can't have Jesus without the Holy Ghost. You can't have God without the Holy Ghost. You get one, you're going to get them all. And so, you know, I hear all this about seeking and doing something to earn or gain the Holy Ghost. Here it says it's a gift. And we want to focus on the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, there's nobody here good enough to earn it. I know some people preach that, but I don't. And I'm not going to. As good as you are, as much as I love you, we've all fell short and come short. In verse 39, it said, for the promises unto you and to your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And so he starts telling them about the promise, and it's to everybody. You know, that's what Jesus said, whosoever will. You know, I love that. It don't limit. It don't put boundaries. It don't delete some people or exclude some people. When he said, all, whosoever will, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter begins preaching right here. He said the promise is to all of you. Now, he's preaching to a bunch of hard-hearted people at that time. They don't like the transition they're going through. They're going through a transition from the law to grace. Now, under the law, the priest had dominance and power. Under the law, they were living for salvation, which was useless. But this transition, they're having a hard time with. Peter's not worried about what they think or what they believe. He said, this is the word of God. He said, the promise is to everybody. We can rejoice in that fact. All y'all that's got loved ones that's not saved, this promise is to everybody. You're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've got a promise from God that he'll accept you. You can come under grace right here today. Have your sins forgiven right here today. Cast as far as east to the west right here today. God said, I won't remember them anymore. You may have some problems in life. You may have done some things wrong. Look at the example of Peter. He denied Christ three times. How much worse do you get? You look at the example of Paul. He persecuted the church and Jesus Christ. And look what God did to these people through deliverance of grace. It's about grace. Verse 40, and with many other words, he did testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. You know, that's a pretty simple thing, you know, when he started with many other words. You know, he had a lot to say. God filled him up, and he began telling them, save yourself from this untoward generation. You got to understand what we're talking about. We've got an untoward generation all around us. It's called the world. Amen. It's called the world. They don't consider God. They don't think about God. They don't seek His way. They don't seek His will. They don't. Most of them don't even pray to a God. They serve some worldly God, which is no God at all. But you think about it, he's warning them. He said, save yourself from this untoward generation. You're going to be a child of God. You're going to be a little bit different than the world. Verse 41, then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now you talk about revival meeting. I've saw several souls saved in one day, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 or 6, maybe 8 or 10. I don't remember the exact number. But I cannot even imagine 3,000 souls being saved in a day. I'd like to see it happen. I'd like to be there for that meeting, wouldn't y'all? Now, if you're not right with God, you probably don't want to be there because he's gonna be dealing with you, you know. I had to deal with that one time. I wasn't where God wanted me to be. Just wasn't. And they was going to sing Christmas carols. I never will forget. And they had a bus. They was going to sing Christmas carols. And my wife, Joan, asked me about going. And actually, just to keep peace, I said, okay, I'll go. I wasn't excited about it. And I said, but we'll drive our car. I ain't getting on that bus, a bunch of fired up Christians. Because they're on fire. I mean, they're on fire for the Lord. You know, if you're not right with God, you don't want no part of that bunch. Right? You don't want no part of that bunch. We followed them. And I even had an excuse. My family is coming for Christmas that night to my house. And we followed them the first stop, and we stopped over to an old house. And I never will forget the old people that lived there. They couldn't come out on the porch. They wasn't able, so they opened the window, and they sat there looking out the window. They began singing. Of course, I was way back in the back. I wasn't singing. But God touched my heart that day and showed me His love and His concern for all people. This is not the kind of people. I mean, it was a run-down house. It looked like the people that's looking out the window didn't look too clean. But that's not what God saw. And when I began seeing through the eyes of God, that's not what I saw either. I saw people that loved God up there helping other people in need. You know, singing Christmas carols, giving them baskets. And I saw that love, and I thought, well, I better get out from here. So they loaded on the bus, and we got in the car, and I cut the other direction. I went on home. And to make a long story short, my family is already there. They was already at my house when we got back that day. I pulled in there, and before I ever got there, I knew what I had to do. God had touched me from what I'd saw. And I won't ever forget, I walked in the house and my sister and brother-in-law and all my family in there, my mama and all these people ready to have Christmas dinner. I said, y'all make yourself at home. I'm going to catch the bus. That's where I had to be. I had to catch the bus that was doing the work of God. Thank God I ain't never got off. I'm still on it. But that's the kind of day we can have here, when you can make your decision that, praise God, I'm all in. I wasn't called to preach then. I wasn't even in church to tell the truth about it. But I was the next Sunday. and have been ever since. Joan said one time she like never got me in, then she can't get me out. I'm all in. That's what God asks you to do. Be all in. This thing with Peter. This thing with me. Knowing what God can do and how God can change life, because we have old things passed away and all things become new. That's where we need to be in our dedication to God. Not just partway, but I'm talking about all in. Doing all we can. And you know, this grace I'm talking about, that's the grace that gives us promise and hope. You know, we're dealing with some deaths today. I know Larry's brother's passed away and Myrna's passed away. But this grace gives us a hope that dying in grace, there will be a resurrection. And we can die with hope. And we can die with the promise of God that He will resurrect and He will bring back again. And when I thought about Peter, the big change in him, you know, he went from denying Christ to preaching the gospel of Christ. You think about it. It had a great effect. 3,000 souls saved in one day. As much as I'd like to see that happen, I know it won't here today because there are not 3,000 of us. But what I want to do is know, is there one that would be saved? Is there one that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? I'm talking about all in. I'm talking about believing Him as the Son of God, believing that He died for the sins of the world, resurrected, that we may also have the promise of resurrection. Let's sing a verse of a song, David. I'll close right there, but I want to give everybody that opportunity. My heart's broke for somebody. I'm afraid you're here. You don't know Christ, and without Christ, it's not a good trip after this life.